The study today starts with my own testimony and the different ways I was seeking to find happiness and contentment. We need to learn that true happiness or joy comes not in having the right circumstances in life, but in having a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Let me make an application. I know when I, without being able to put into words at that time, when I first received the Lord, that's what I experienced, was God's favor, God's blessing upon my life, God's acceptance. Up to that point, I had something inside me that was churning. I was looking for something. And I thought I was going to be able to find happiness or contentment in money, in power, getting a good job. So I went to college. And my goal in college was not to, you know, be a better person and be a better citizen and to better myself. It was like, I'm going to take business, I'm going to learn how to make money, and I'm going to make money, and I'm going to be happy. Once I get out of college, once I get my job, once I establish my own business, once I have a lot of money, then I'm going to be happy. And I was driven for that. And then I had health problems. It didn't look like I was going to be able to do that. And I went to a Bible study. A guy told me about God's love and God's acceptance through Jesus Christ. I went home that night. I prayed beside of my bed. And something inside, it was like a machine that was just driving me before it just stopped. And there was a calm. And I wasn't driven. I didn't have to look anywhere else for happiness, anywhere else for joy, anywhere else for contentment. Because now I found that I was right with God. Let me give you a little background on that. I was raised in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, not to the degree that the Pharisees do, they say, go to church this day, observe this holy day of obligation, receive the sacraments, do all these external works, and you'll find God's favor. You'll find God's acceptance. But even they don't really even say that, because they say when you die, you go to purgatory and you suffer there for a certain amount of time, depending on how evil you were. And I knew I was evil, and I knew I was going to be in purgatory a long time, centuries maybe. I didn't know how long it was going to be. So it's really hard to experience any blessedness in that form of religion, whether it's Roman Catholicism or it's some Protestant denomination that's going to put the law upon you and say you earn God's favor by jumping through these hoops. And when I realized I could be right with God, not based on my external observance, I'm experiencing God's favor upon my life. And it brings a sense of satisfaction that's not governed by outward circumstances. It surely isn't governed by what happens at the White House. You know, I hope that what's happening in the White House, people are going to say, we've been looking for the wrong place to satisfy all of our needs in society. Put a man up there, he's been corrupted, he's made a shame out of the position, he's lied to us. Hopefully they'll say, we need to look beyond man for some other solution other than government to satisfy all of life's problems. I hope people are, you know, crying out in their heart with just an anguish saying, oh, what do we do? Because maybe they'll start turning to the Lord because he's the one that has the answers. So my hope is not in Sacramento. It's not in Washington, D.C. It's in Jesus Christ to come back and for him to establish his kingdom. And he says he will have a kingdom that's just and right and holy and perfect. Until then, I could experience God's favor, God's blessing, a blessedness, a satisfaction that's not based on any of those circumstances or religious ideas. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 4. He uses David as an example, quoting Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2, where he says, David described the blessedness of the man who receives righteousness apart from works. He said, blessed is the man whose sins are covered, whose transgressions are covered. Blessed is the man to whom God does not impute sin. If you want to experience God's favor, it starts with a relationship with the Lord, of coming to him empty, not having any spiritual pride, nothing to offer God, nothing to earn your salvation, but receiving his gift, his free gift of eternal life. That's where you enter into this blessedness. That's the only place a person will find it. And we have it as Christians. And I believe that we have it in degrees. Not everyone's experienced the fullness of this blessedness. I think it relates to your understanding of the Word of God, your understanding of the nature of God. I came out of a legalistic background. I understand that God's got a grace. He's not asking me to jump through hoops, then I'll love you. See, I have my own children now, and I understand it a lot better. I love my children for who they are. They don't have to do anything. And I've labored in my life, because I didn't come out of that background, to say, I'm going to communicate to my kids, I love them unconditionally. They don't have to do anything to earn their father's love. And I'll ask them from time to time, why does your dad love you? I go, oh, Dad, you know, well, you're my dad, of course you do. But I check every once in a while. So I want them to say, well, because, you know, I get good grades in school, because of this, or my son I got hair like you, and so you have to. It's just, I love them. And the Bible says we're adopted. We're in the process right now of adopting a little boy. And I love that boy like I love my son. There's no difference in my heart. It's like he's always been with us, and I just find such joy and happiness just in him, in my relationship with him, with all my kids. We sing that song today, you know, Father of Lights. There's no turning. He delights in his children. When you understand that, it's like this weight drops off, and you experience this blessedness that Jesus is talking about. You're not able to put it in words, and it surely is much more than happy. So I walk around with a dumb-looking Christian smile on my face. I'm just happy. You know, don't worry, be happy. There's something inside that is deep, a deep sense of God's shalom, his peace, his well-being. Fullness is upon my life that cannot be taken away. I die, I go right into the presence of the Lord. See, it's unchanging. So I can lay my head down every night. I don't have to worry what happens in the elections. I don't have to worry what happens in the stock market. I may wake up, something wrong with my body physically. I may not even wake up at all. Don't have to worry about that. Because I have God's blessing upon my life. And that can't be taken away, and it's not altered by circumstances. I have God's favor upon me. I'm a child of God. I'm accepted in the Beloved in Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done. My sins are covered. My sins are forgiven. And I don't know how to describe that other than it's something inside that as you understand the truth of the grace of God, we should all be experiencing to the fullest extent. And so Jesus comes along and refutes all the religious ideas. Somehow man bringing in the kingdom of God by some force or by some religious effort. Jesus says, you want the kingdom of heaven, I'll give it to you. You're poor in spirit. That's why he says, they're blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God will give you everything. He'll give you the kingdom of heaven. But you have to be poor in spirit. And it's interesting, this word poor here. Jesus has two Greek terms in that he could have used to describe what poor means. One is the term panes, which means an individual that basically had to work every day just to supply for his immediate needs. There's many people like that in the time of Jesus, and they would have been considered to be poor. They didn't work that day. They didn't have money for food for that day. But there was another term, tikos, which refers to abject poverty. Someone that was a beggar that didn't have the ability even to work. There were many people like that in the time of Jesus, whether they were born blind or lame or crippled or some sort of disability that prevented them from working, even to supply for their daily need. That's the term that Jesus chose to describe what we need to be like if we're going to experience this blessedness. It's interesting that the verb describes a shrinking from something or someone to cower and cringe like a beggar. To cower, to cringe like a beggar. That's Jesus' mentality. He says, if you want the kingdom of heaven, don't listen to these other religious forces. You need to become a beggar before God because you have nothing to offer him to establish the kingdom, to establish joy and happiness in your life. You come to God empty as a beggar. You don't offer your good works. You don't offer your good intentions. You don't offer your baptism. You come empty as a beggar saying, Lord, I need to receive from you. That's what that term is. There are people in the time of Palestine, they wouldn't even look up. They would just have their hand out asking. They're cringing, cowering. And that's how God says, you come to me that way, and you know what? You'll experience a blessedness, and I'll give you the kingdom of God.